podcast about friends and how I met your mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
How are you, Natalie?
Oh, exhausted. Took a lot out of me. No, I'm great. Yeah. Good.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, all that.
Most wonderful time of the year.
The holiday season is upon us.
Feeling festive.
Yeah.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Saw mommy kissing Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Made a dreidel out of clay.
Mm-hmm. had a little dreidel.
And then, of course, we'll be celebrating Kwanzaa with your family.
Yeah.
Can I tell the story?
Please, yes.
Every year, Natalie puts together a family calendar.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, a wall calendar for the, mm-hmm. the whole year. And for December of 2024, she picked some holiday-themed photos, and then right smack dab in the center, put a menorah, or so she thought, until we were all looking at it today when we exchanged presents, and someone pointed out first, like, wait.
I pointed it out. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, there aren't enough candles, and you're like, oh, that's a Kwanzaa candle.
Well, we learned that it's a Kanara.
A Kanara,
so anyone who celebrates, you know. I mean, it was a, you know.
Accidental Kanara.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of us on your side of the family or my side of the family celebrates Kwanzaa.
Yeah. So I noticed it. And that, so like when you make these calendars, they make it real easy for you and give you like suggested clip art to insert into the calendar. Yeah. So I just like, oh, there we go. And right smack dab in the middle of it. And everyone had a nice laugh. Yeah, but you even look like I showed it to you. You didn't notice.
Okay, but like as I said earlier today, I'm not the menorah police here. You know.
Yeah.
I'm not Jewish. I never saw a menorah. That's not true. I saw menorahs, but still.
Yeah.
I'm not the one who's supposed to be able to pick a menorah out of a lineup.
Yeah.
At least I know what a candelabra is. Do you remember? We're big Amazing Race fans.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before. And one of the funniest things that's ever happened on the Amazing Race. I love when something like that's not supposed to be a hard part of the clue becomes hard because the person just doesn't know.
Yeah.
And so they were supposed to find like a candelabra with like a one of the candelabras had
the
clue under it. Yeah, something like that. And one guy kept going up to people in this space and saying, are you a candelabra?
Are you a candelabra?
Are you a he didn't know what a candelabra was. And it's, what's a candelabra? Are you a candelabra?
Yeah.
Are you a candelabra?
Yeah. So, yes. That is funny.
Yeah, so we know about candelabras. Now I know the difference between menorah and a Kanara.
Yep.
Yeah.
So in a menorah,
in all honesty, happy Kwanzaa if you celebrate that.
There are 9 candles, and a Kanara, there are 7.
Yeah.
3 on either side of a middle.
Yeah, center one, yeah. But this is not a podcast about December holidays. We're not here to talk about Diwali. We're not here to talk about Eid al-Fitr.
Yeah.
I just realized I never said that out loud, and I don't know if that's how you pronounce it.
That's right, yeah.
We're here to talk about the American television sitcoms Friends and How I Met Your Mother. We watch an episode of each week. We take turns recapping, comparing, contrasting. We have all sorts of different segments and stuff. Right now we're on season 6, episode 12 of both shows. Season 6, episode 12 of Friends is called The One with the Joke. Season 6, episode 12 of How I Met Your Mother is called False Positive. We're going to put a pin in False Positive, and we're going to start with season 6, episode 12 of Friends, The One with the Joke. So the cold open here is, sometimes the cold open on Friends or on How I Met Your Mother is like just its own like standalone thing, but this is introducing the premise of the episode right away. Ross comes into the perk
and take an espresso shot.
Right,
it's a perk opening.
Yeah, we started the perk. Everybody do a shot of espresso. Oh my god, I just said espresso.
Espresso.
Oof, espresso. Sorry. Ross comes in. He's got the new issue of Playboy, and he's very happy to report that they've published a joke that he sent in. I'm not pretending not to know things about Playboy. I don't know. Is that a real, like, was that a real thing at some point that they published jokes that other people send in Playboy?
I think probably.
Okay. I was never really, a Playboy reader.
Yeah.
Yeah. I once, for a short film that I made in film school, purchased a Hustler at the convenience store.
Because that's like the cooler one, right? Like Playboy
I think politically, Hustler is probably pretty, or at least at the time, very libertarian, you know? Mm. And it's also like more hardcore. Like there's never like penetration in Playboy, you know? But Hustler has like hardcore, like.
Really?
Yeah, Hustler is more hardcore.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. So Playboy is more tasteful.
Okay. I knew Playboy was more tasteful. And it seemed like kind of like. This is what, like, parents looked at. You know, like, it seemed kind of, like, refined in a way.
Yeah, and I mean, people joke about, like, I read it for the articles, but, like,
there were
they
articles.
Do have a history of, like, having, like, good writers and publishing worthwhile stuff. But, no, I bought, because it was just for one visual gag in the short film, my friend Tony played a guy who got locked out of his apartment and like just is trying to kill time waiting for his roommate to come home. And he ends up like going to seed or whatever. And at one point he like starts going through his neighbor's mail. And so I had him pull out a manila envelope that was addressed to the teacher of the class.
Oh.
Who was a gay man, so it was especially funny to me that he would like see like the teacher's name and then pull out a Hustler. And even like in when I showed it as the end of my like project, my teacher was like, "Oh, if it had anything but Hustler." Anyway, I think that's the only time I ever actually like bought physical porn was for a short film that I made.
Yeah, I've bought physical porn, but like for a job.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I worked at a store that had porn, and sometimes I would have to go pick it up.
Yeah.
But that wasn't me buying it. That was me just picking it up on behalf.
Yeah.
Okay, we're way off. All right, so Chandler says...
So I had a question.
Oh, go ahead.
So, I mean, this was an actual issue of Playboy from the year 2000, I'm assuming?
Let's see.
But that's what I was wondering. Like, is there really, like, a farm-themed... spread.
Oh, yeah. Because we get to that later, yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah. So I wonder if this is actual cover and this is, like, the actual accurate contents of this issue.
Here it is. That's the cover. You can currently buy one on eBay for $31 as the opening bid, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know what's in the inside. Yeah, but it's the 2000, January 2000.
Any mention edition. Of like farm life?
No, all I can see is the cover.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see. It has the same, the Grand Marnier ad on the back that we saw.
Yeah, so this
Oh, let's see. Let's see. Here's a table of contents.
Let's see.
Da-da-da.
Okay, see this if is there's all the, a joke. Like, is there a joke portion?
Yeah. No, these are all just like. The
and the cover,
articles.
The cover girl, we don't know if it's farm.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
I don't know. I don't know what's on the inside.
Okay.
Well, okay. We got to catch up.
Okay, way behind. Sorry.
I set the pace by doing that slow opening, and now we're just, like, taking our time. Okay. So Ross is proud of the joke, but then Chandler reads it and says that he came up with that joke, and Ross stole it from him, and Ross says, nuh-uh. After the titles, Chandler comes over to Joey's apartment because he wants to watch the Behind the Music about Heart with him, and Monica's watching the Food Network or something, and it turns out Joey hasn't paid his cable bill or the phone bill because his money is tight.
Yeah.
Especially since Janine moved out, he's trying to pay the whole rent himself.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to have cable to have... You have an antenna or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I grew up without cable, so I know these struggles.
Yes.
Anyway. And then across the hall, the ladies are, like, looking at Playboy and making jokes about... It feels like, I mean... In the year 2000... our audience is old enough to know that reference.
Yes.
Playboy turned 35 years old. So I feel like them like making fun of Playboy is like real dusty humor. It's I didn't find it all to be very funny at all, but it leads to the question among the ladies of like, if you had to date one of the other two, who would it be? And of course, Monica and Rachel are both diplomatic about it and say, you know, I can't choose. But Phoebe just instinctively goes, Rachel.
Yeah.
And that makes Monica mad. Let's see. We're at the perk. We find out that Ross got paid $100 for the joke, and Chandler's gonna like chase him down to tell the bank teller when he deposits it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What if it's like not like a hot female bank teller? That was like the assumption.
That was the assumption. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Ross is gonna impress some like hot bank teller.
Yeah.
But like, how do you know who's working that day?
Yeah. I imagine Ross being in line, and there's like. The next one open is like a dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you go ahead of me.
Yeah.
I bet bank tellers get that. Ooh. Right?
Well, any like customer service like person gets that.
But I'm saying that I guess there are like how many other options? I guess there are other places where you're like in a line and there are multiple windows, like the DMV or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure lady workers at any of those kind of places get guys trying to like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
This is why we have dating apps now. No one needs to be hitting on people in real life ever again. We can very cleanly compartmentalize our social lives.
Yeah.
You don't need to make people uncomfortable.
It's a perfect system.
You've got dating apps.
It works so well for so many people.
Most people meet online now, right?
Yeah, but a lot of people struggle with dating apps because they're not great.
I wouldn't know. Yeah. Literally never used one.
Yeah.
At your... request I signed up for, not request, but like I was inspired by you. I signed up for Bumble for Friends.
Bumble BFF.
Yeah, Bumble BFF. Bumble for Friends. It's like trying to like meet friends to hang out with.
Yeah.
It's so far it's been
same here.
Fun, but find me on Bumble BFF.
We haven't met our new best friends.
No. I don't know. You had a bite the other night. Was it a witchy lady? I've had
many people, yeah.
I will probably never open it again. I'll forget I have it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Gunther offers Joey a job at the perk because he needs money. Because after Chandler chases Ross out, Joey's left with the bill and he can't pay it.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm cutting back on paying for things or something like that. Yeah. Gunther offers him the job. He's like, I don't know, because my friends come here. And also, like, I used to be on TV, and now it seems like a step down.
Yeah.
But it happens. I mean, we know, I mean, not know personally, but friend of a friend, a hostess at a restaurant that we go to, bar and restaurant we go to, who has been on TV, has starred in her own show at one point.
Well, I see, like, other actors... comics like just as bartenders around LA.
Yeah.
It happens.
This is why they strike because they're not getting paid. Even if someone has been like on multiple TV shows, even had her own show.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, I haven't worked for 6 months. I got to go back to hostessing. Something wrong with the system there. You know,
there's nothing wrong with hostessing. There's nothing wrong with.
No, like, but I'm saying.
Yes.
That if you have the career that she has,
yes.
and 6 months of no work means you have to go back to another job,
yes.
that shows that people aren't getting paid fairly.
Totally.
Yeah, nothing wrong with hostessing. Come on.
Or like getting a job at Trader Joe's or getting a job
at... No, nothing wrong with any of that, but it shows that the industry is not paying its talent.
Yes.
This is why they strike.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, man, we are so off base. Blah, blah, blah. That night, Monica and Chandler both can't sleep because Monica's mad that Phoebe...
Would choose Rachel,
and Chandler's mad that Ross stole his joke.
Yes.
Meanwhile, they hear a noise outside, and Joey has snuck across the hall to watch TV in the middle of the night, and he's, like, wrapped in a comforter. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Let's see. So Monica shows up at... Phoebe and Rachel's apartment, which is still a Pottery Barn.
Yeah.
Phoebe says she wouldn't date Monica because Monica's high maintenance, which Monica takes offense to, but then Rachel said she, or Phoebe said she would date Rachel because Rachel's a pushover, and Rachel takes offense to that, obviously. At the Perk, Joey is working there, but trying to act like he's just like, I'm going to the bar. You want me to get you anything?
Bring his friend's coffee. Yeah.
Yeah. And he does it to other people, like even not his friends.
Yeah.
But he gets caught. And Ross is a dick and treats him like, just like, get me my coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
But Rachel is like, hey, I worked here. Here are some tips. Yeah. Rachel's very nice about it. Later, Monica and Rachel confront Phoebe and call her flaky. And she's like, yeah, I know. Let's see. Joey has an audition and he wants to like skip out on work for an hour, but Gunther has a hair appointment and won't let him go. I didn't put this in my funniest moment, so it's a very, very funny moment in there. Did you put it in yours? When Gunther says, I have an appointment to get my hair dyed, and Joey's like, oh, I like your natural color.
Yeah. No, I didn't put it, but it was funny.
Blah, blah, blah. So Joey goes to the audition anyway and just closes the Perk in the middle of the day. When I was working at a video store, I would sometimes work long shifts alone, and I would never close the store for a whole hour.
Yeah.
But there'd be times that I would like
be back in five.
I would call to the Quiznos down the street and place an order, and then just like wait till there's no one in the store, lock the door, run to Quiznos, pick up my order, and run back. It was never more than 5 minutes.
I remember like being in the store by myself and like having to pee and being like nervous. Like, do I just like make a run for it? I like look in the parking lot. I'm like, if I'm real fast, I can do this.
Is this where you learn to be such a fast peer?
Maybe.
Because you are.
Maybe. I get it done.
Yeah.
You know, in and out. So I'm like, if I saw a car like pulling in, I would wait. But there's been times that like we had no customers for hours, yeah. You know, and I'm just like sitting there. So I would like run to the back.
Yeah, I think. You are a fast peer, and I'm a slow peer. Because I'm like, it's sort of like, you know, when you get in the car with me, mm-hmm. I don't like start the car right away.
Yeah.
I gotta like get set up.
Yeah.
And I feel like I do the same thing when I go into the men's room. I'm like, all right, let me get out my phone, let me look at Instagram, and then I'm like, all right, I'll get around to peeing.
Yeah, no, I don't use my phone while I'm peeing.
But it's a great way to, looking at your phone is a great way, because there are some men who want to chat at the urinals. Mm. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at your phone at the urinal is a good way to say, like, I don't want to chat with you while we're peeing together.
Yeah, I just, like, there's one thing you do, you know, like you go in, you go out, you take care of business. Friends and mothers, let us know.
Oh, yeah.
Do you use the phone in a public bathroom?
And how fast do you pee?
Yeah, so hashtag pee phone? No, I'm getting worse somehow.
Yeah, I don't know how fast do you pee. Well, you know, like in a car race, the person who starts first is in pole position.
Okay.
Pee position.
Okay.
I don't know. Hashtag pee position. I don't know.
So that are we like asking friends and mothers to time themselves?
If you want, I'm not saying.
Yeah.
But I know that Natalie's a fast peer, and I know that I'm a slow peer.
Yeah. I'm an often peer. Maybe that's why. Like, you hold it up, and then, like...
Here's what I think it is, to be honest.
Okay.
Because it's also why I take long showers.
Yeah.
Is that I grew up in a large family.
Yeah.
And often being just in the bathroom with the door shut and locked was, like, a good way to get some fucking privacy and quiet for mm-hmm. a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I do think that I kind of think of a bathroom as, or a restroom as kind of, like, a sanctuary where I can, like, you know. Like, have you ever done... You ever been at a dinner that you're at compulsively? Like, mm-hmm. you're not necessarily fun. It's like, this is a work thing or this is a family thing or whatever, you know. Have you ever said, like, I need to go to the bathroom, just even though you didn't, just to, like, take a breath for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do that. So I think that's kind of why I take my time, is it's like, oh.
Right, but when we're home, like... Are you trying to escape me?
Yeah. Like, oh, sometimes I gotta just like...
Oh, no. Okay, here's my thing is I've deduced that I have a small bladder. It doesn't mm-hmm. hold much, so I have to pee often.
Yeah.
But then when it's time to go, it's like real quick. It's just, you know, 6 ounces max.
Like a wine pour.
Yeah.
All right, this is going to get gross if I keep following this. Blah, blah, blah. Where, I don't even remember where I was. Oh, Chandler and Ross ask Monica to settle the argument mm-hmm. over who came up with the joke, mm-hmm. and she tells them off about how the joke isn't even funny. And I like that we never hear the joke, which is great.
Yeah. It doesn't sound very funny.
No, it doesn't sound very funny. That's to do with the monkey. Monkeys aren't... People think monkeys are funny. They're not funny. Yeah. I hate a chimp dressed as... dressed in human clothes. Hate it.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me sick to see.
Yeah.
Because I feel bad for the chimp, but also, like, I feel grossed out because they're too human-like.
Yeah.
And but mostly I just feel bad for the chimp. Leave yeah. chimps alone.
Leave them alone.
Yeah. Because they will rip your face and nuts off.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You piss these chimps off.
Yeah.
You get, like, a nope situation, you know?
Yeah. Ugh, that was scary.
Yeah. Okay. Joey got fired for closing the perk, but Rachel gets him his job back
yeah.
because Gunther is a pushover for Rachel, but Rachel gets to, like, prove yeah. that she's not a pushover. Meanwhile, Chandler has a nice little speech about how he likes that Monica's high maintenance because he likes maintaining her, which I feel like I know this is not a reflection on you at all, but I relate to that feeling of, like, it feels good to be useful in a relationship, you know?
Mm.
But I think that's just me. I don't think that's about you. Because that has always applied with other relationships that
I've had. My eyes are getting very small.
I don't think of you as high maintenance. But I do like that feeling of being useful. But that's, like I said, nothing to do with you. It's been true in past relationships as well.
Okay. Maybe I should be more high maintenance.
No, I think it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy to just make sure you have your sodas, and that's kind of the main thing I have to maintain, right?
Yeah.
Take out the garbage.
Take out the trash.
Yeah. There's a tag at the end where the ladies ask the boys, like, which one of the other two would you date? And it's the same thing where Joey and Ross are both, like, diplomatic about it, yeah. but then Chandler's like, Joey! Which is, like, obviously the right answer.
Yeah.
Who would want to date Ross except for, I guess, Rachel somehow? All right. Taking forever.
He's married a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true. Taking forever. Oh, yeah, you and I saw Oppenheimer, finally saw Oppenheimer yesterday. And Emily's dad plays Albert Einstein.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Tom Conti from Merry Christmas to Lawrence and other things, of course. Should we move on to funniest moments, or do you have any other stray observations?
No, that's it.
Okay. This was, I don't know if you even, you probably caught it because we have a big enough TV. When Phoebe first says the words high maintenance about Monica, did you look at Rachel? Because Rachel made a face like,
yeah,
it was great.
Yeah,
it was a great little reaction because it was like she's not even like this focus of the frame, but she's like sitting on the couch next to Phoebe and she's like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. And that same scene, this kind of was on my list, but yeah, Monica's like so offended. And then I think Rachel's like, no, you're right. You're easygoing.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, this is the second week in a row where someone like doesn't like Monica and is very specific about the reasons. Janine yeah. thought she was too loud.
Yeah.
Now Phoebe thinks she's high maintenance.
I think she's just a lot, you know, like,
hey,
and that's okay.
I love Monica.
Yeah, me too.
Like, you ask me which of the three of them I would want to date? Monica.
Yeah.
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 I mean, she's, obviously they're all, like, very beautiful.
Yes.
She's also, like, cute and charming, but also, like, you have a long-term relationship with Monica. You live in a beautiful home. You get beautiful food cooked for you all the time. Like, yeah, she's a catch.
Yeah.
Do you have another funny one? I have a couple more.
Yeah, when Joey's, like, pretending to just, like, get people coffee. And
I think this might be mine.
Gunther, like,
oh, no.
like gives him an apron to put on. And Rachel's like, Joey, do you work here? And he's like, no. And then someone in the restaurant is like, waiter, yeah.
Yeah. Do you work here? No. Waiter, yeah. Yeah?
But right, it's like, it's rude for like a customer to be like, waiter,
yeah.
like just scream across a coffee shop. Yeah.
Okay, then, yeah, that was going to be my next one, so I only have one more. When they ask Joey how his audition went, and he says, terribly, I didn't get the job, and I got fired from the perk. And Phoebe's like, wow, that is a bad audition.
Yeah. The idea of a sneeze muffin, like giving Ross a sneeze muffin, that was one of the tips Rachel gave to Joey.
Tips,
like, if someone's rude to you, give them a sneeze muffin.
Yeah.
And Ross is like just being annoying, asking for a coffee repeatedly.
Yeah, and Joey says, I'm going to throw in a muffin for free.
Yeah.
And he like winks at Rachel.
Yeah. And also, you already talked about it, but Joey sitting on the floor watching TV in a comforter. Yeah. Like, he's sitting so close to the TV on the floor. It's very childlike and cute.
Yeah. Any more? Nope. Should we move on to Friends with Make It Fashion?
Yep.
All right. Gunther. I mean, this is a Gunther-heavy episode, mm-hmm. and he had three looks across the episode. And I rank them... They're all good. I go 3-1-2 in terms of the looks. So I'm going to say his third look with the
roses,
the shirt that was had huge, like huge close up of roses on it. That was the coolest. His first look was the polka dot shirt with the orange tie, and then his second look was a yellow shirt, which you know I like a yellow shirt, but the tie here was like kind of like purple rings. I don't know. The tie was not the greatest in the second look, but. He looked fantastic.
Yeah.
I love Gunther.
Can I backtrack real quick? This is, like, kind of in my funniest moments that I missed.
Yeah, of course.
Is, like, a guy, like, comes to sit at the bar at the restaurant, and Joey's practicing his only line for the audition is, like, hey, you can't sit here. And he says that. And the guy's like, oh, sorry. And Joey's like, wait, you believe me? I need to go to this audition. I need to close the entire coffee shop.
Yeah. He's just like... You believe me? He's like, I believed you were saving the chairs. Like, so you'd hire me? For what?
For what? This guy's so confused. He's very funny.
Do you have any, I have more Make It Fashion, do you?
Joey looks great in plaid, and Phoebe has hair jewels.
I didn't like him.
No.
Didn't like him.
No.
You know what I did like is Rachel's red sweater with, like, the white rectangular elbow patches.
I wasn't so hot on that.
I liked it. It had the, like, I don't know what you call the ends, like the bottom and the wrist, that looked like they like kind of intentionally looked unfinished. Like it intentionally looked like someone just like snipped off the end.
Yeah, that was like a look.
I liked that
era. I don't really like that.
Huh. Okay. All right. So should we move on under the umbrella?
Yes.
What do we got?
We got some fat phobia thrown in.
Oh my god! Yeah, shots fired
at Hart.
Hart.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Like. These are gorgeous women throughout history. Like, they've always been gorgeous, but he makes, like, a horrible comment, like, I don't want to miss when they were skinny. And Chandler
sucks.
Yeah. There's a giant plate of cookies. The girls are, like, having cookies and tea.
Yeah.
Let's see. Like, the idea of, like, pairing up, you know, like, picking friends, pairing up, mm-hmm. like, who would you date?
Yeah, yeah.
Money woes for Joey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gunther loves Rachel.
Yep.
A little bit of gay panic thrown in there, because what would an episode be without it?
And that's how you're interpreting the very end?
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, maybe they're just being, maybe Ross and Joey are just being politic the way that
But we
Monica
know these people. We know these people
I know,
by
I
now. Just,
I guess I want to think the best of them.
Okay.
The only thing I had that you didn't have is we get reminded of Marcel. Ross mentions that he had a monkey.
Yes, that's true. He is the monkey doctor.
Yeah. That's it then. Should we take a quick break?
Mm-hmm.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, we're back from our quick break, and we are ready to dive in to How I Met Your Mother Season 6, Episode 12, False positive. Natalie, take it away.
Okay. So we start in front of a movie theater playing It's a Wonderful Life. So it's the holiday season. Ted is standing there bundled up, and he has a gingerbread house, and they're all going to meet to watch It's a Wonderful Life. But then we get a flashback. And it's Lily and Marshall taking a pregnancy test, and oh my God, it's positive.
Yeah.
So in the moment, everyone cheers, and everyone kind of has their own little freak out that we'll get to. We come to find an OBGYN saying, you're actually not positive. It's a false positive. But we go 36 hours back in time to see the inner monologues.
Yeah, keep going back 36 hours to see each character's individual freak out.
Yes. So Ted's little venture, he's talking to Punchy over the phone because he's his best man.
Yeah.
So he thinks he's a really good best man because he has the peonies picked out and he has like the floral arrangements.
Yeah. At first I was like, what does Punchy's betrothed have to say about this?
That's what I was thinking.
But then I remembered that she was charmed by the wounded little bird jokes, and maybe she doesn't have the best taste anyway.
Yeah, I like it. She's like, you handle the flowers.
Yeah.
Robin is kind of like criticizing Ted as like how he's a bad best man, and then we remember Marshall's like freak out head shaving.
Yeah.
And then Robin's little story is about Million Dollar Heads or Tails with Alex Trebek.
Hosted by Alex Trebek.
Yeah. Rest so in it's peace. Like kind of like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but it's just a coin toss game. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
She said that she's always wanted to be on worldwide news. That was like one of her New Year's Eve, what is it called?
New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve goals.
Yeah. New Year's Eve goals. Yeah. Hashtag New Year's Eve goals. I guess in this world, worldwide news is a cable network like CNN.
Like CNN. Yeah. Yeah. So she did get an offer, but it was like a bad position for like an associate researcher. So like bottom of the pecking order.
I mean, I don't think it's a bad position so much as I think that Robin is vain and wants to be on camera.
She's like, I'm pretty. I need to be on camera.
Yeah.
And Ted's like, well, you can start there and move your way up. Just like get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
But she wants to be on Million. She wants to be a coin flip bimbo, as they call them.
That's what Ted calls them.
Yeah. There's like a woman who like flips a coin or stands there and offers the coin up.
Yeah,
the
contestant flips it because she accidentally flips it right into Alex Trebek's eye.
Well, again, we'll get there later.
Oh, I'm sorry. But, I guess the official title is Currency Rotation Specialist.
Yeah. Yeah. So everyone is, we're like back to the introduction of everyone's like happy for like a millisecond, but then everyone's like reevaluating their whole life. Ted is bringing the gingerbread house because it's a Christmas-themed movie snack. It's perfect. Barney gets a bonus, like a big end-of-year bonus. And then he kind of feels bad for... He feels weird about his life choices because Marshall and Lily are having a baby, so he's reevaluating things, and he feels bad for being single and then having all this money and using them on shallow things. It all jumps around quite a bit.
Yeah,
as
that's
usual.
A standard episode.
They're at McLaren's and Barney announces Barney's favorite things, which is like an Oprah type, like these are Barney's favorite things. He gives everyone, limo rides and different toys and robes and pajamas.
Yeah.
And then he has like limos waiting out front. If you worked at McLaren's, you'd be like pissed.
Why?
Because Barney's taking all of the customers in limos to a strip club. And then he goes to God's strip club, which is his stepdad, kind of, who's a minister, or his faux dad, or...
It's his, yeah, his brother's dad, his half-brother's dad.
His half-brother's dad.
Wayne Brady. No, yeah. Why am I forgetting the character's name? Because I was just calling Wayne Brady. I forget his name now.
Yeah. So he goes there and, like, says, like, I'm going to give my money to charity, and he starts writing a check, and he's like, 100, and he keeps going with the zeros, but then he gets a text that Marshall and Lily aren't pregnant after all, and then so he stops at $100, and the extra two zeros had a decimal before them. And, you know, he was still very gracious to receive it for this charity.
Yeah, Ben Vereen was still very happy.
Yeah. Marshall, in the moment of, like, the pregnancy test, Marshall is, like, truly having a panic attack, and so is Lily, because they have that, like, couple ESP where they, like, know what everyone's thinking. So they know that, like, Barney's reconsidering his life. They know that, like, Robin's, like, struggling with it, and Ted is just like, I should get a Christmas-themed snack for the movie.
All right, I took one of your funniest moments. Okay. You took one of mine.
Yeah, that was very funny. So Lily and Marshall, in their panic, they're like freaking out, and then they make a list of all the things that they need to do for the baby, and they do it all. They, like, create the nursery. They do everything. It's like a chaotic 36 hours. But they're pretending to be happy, so when they're at McLaren's, like, everyone notices, like, you look so calm and happy. They say, we've never been happier. But then when they find out they're not pregnant, they're so relieved.
Yeah.
And they agree, like, maybe they're not ready. Let's get a puppy. At this point, Ted is, like, so pissed off. Because, like, we didn't see him, like, freaking out about... Like, you'd think he'd be the most reevaluating his life. Because he's, like, the king of revelations about his life path. So this whole time, he's just been, like, calm, cool, collected with his gingerbread house.
Yeah.
But at the idea that Marshall and Lily are just going to, like, give up and get a puppy... He flips out and throws the gingerbread house and just, like, lays it into everyone. Like, he screams at Barney, like, you're an idiot. You look so dumb in the diamond suit. So Barney buys a diamond suit instead of giving to charity.
A diamond suit called the DiBiase, which is named after professional wrestler Ted DiBiase.
Okay, I didn't know
that. See, I knew you didn't know that reference.
Yeah.
If there is anyone in the world who knows less about professional wrestling than I do, it's you.
Well, I know nothing about, like, sports in general.
Yeah.
He screams at Robin, like, don't be a coin flip bimbo. Like, you've always wanted to be an anchor on worldwide news. So he basically just, like, lays into all of them and, like, tells them what they need to do. Everyone kind of understands and does it. Ted gets everyone on the right path. Robin is able to recognize that and is like, oh, you do have the quality of the best man. When I get married, if we don't end up together, I want you to be my best man. And he's going to crush it. And then we get a tag at the end. It's Barney doing, like, a PSA about, like, banging someone in need.
Yeah. But then it turns out that's just his pitch to women at McLaren's.
And no one's falling for it.
Yeah. All right.
What I miss.
I like that Alex Trebek played himself and was pleased that Robin was Canadian. Because, of course, Alex Trebek is Canadian.
Yes.
Ben Vereen was great. Having worked at a movie theater, I don't think Ted's going to get away with bringing a gingerbread house into the movie theater. We would, like, when I worked in movie theater, if you were going to bring in outside food, we wanted you to at least...
Be discreet.
Try to hide it.
Yeah.
Because people would come in, like, they would literally get, like, a hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars and just walk in with a full pizza and be like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
We sell food here. You can't...
Yeah, especially now that they sell, like, actual, like, meals.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not... I feel like they're, like, pretty lax about it now.
Yeah.
It's not their job to monitor what people bring in. You know, they don't get paid enough to tell people, you know, like.
Well, yeah, I guess I should say the movie theater I worked at was kind of an outlier because I worked at the Arclight.
Okay.
Which had security, like yeah. literally a third party contracted company, like security. So the security would deal with that. They also had a third party contract cleaning thing. So I know a lot of people who worked in movie theaters, a big part of the job is yeah. cleaning up after every showing. I didn't have to do that. There was a separate team who that's all their job was yeah. to clean. My job was to show people where their seats were, to sell concessions. I worked in the gift shop.
Oh yeah.
I greeted the movie, you know, which yeah. is an Arclight thing people might know. That you come out and say, thank you for coming to the Arclight, blah, blah, blah. This movie about you're about to see is however many minutes long, blah, blah, blah. And we'll stay through the first few minutes to make sure the image and sound projection are correct. But if you have any questions or anything you want to report during the movie, come out, find me or someone dressed like me. That's what you would say in the
And then everyone thing. Claps.
Yeah, yeah.
Just people weirdly clap for you?
I mean, anytime, it's such a weird thing, because, like, anytime someone, like, speaks in front of a group, the impulse is just yeah. to clap afterwards, yeah. even though they didn't, like...
We're, like, programmed.
Because, you know, like, you and I go to, like, press screenings or, like, for your consideration screenings, and usually, like, a publicist will come out and say, like, at a press screening, like, just so you know, the movie is coming out this day, the embargo is this day, we'll have this people ready, available for interviews.
The bathroom code is 2217.
Let me know if you need parking validation, and then they leave, and everyone's like,
yay!
Just doing their job.
Much like you didn't have cable growing up, we were very much the family to, you know, go to Thrifty beforehand.
Oh, absolutely.
Get candy. We even, like, brought our own popcorn in, like, Ziploc bags. So we were that family.
No, yeah, part of going to the... When you have a family of, you know, four kids,
yeah,
it's expensive to go to the movies,
yeah,
even without... So we didn't go to the movies as a family all that often. Really, yeah. like, a couple times a year. But part of going to the movies was we would go to Schnucks first, which is the grocery store chain in the St. Louis area. In the news recently for bad, have you heard about the applesauce packets that, like, killed kids?
Yeah.
So it was one of the – they were, like, made by a third party, and one of the, like,
what was
name brands was Schnucks. So Schnucks, like – grocery store, like, generic brand was one of the ones that was making people sick, and I think some kids actually died. I can't remember what was in there, but the newest revelation...
The lemonade.
Lemonade. No.
Oh.
The newest revelation in the applesauce packets thing is that they believe it was intentional. That, like with the Tylenol back in the 80s or whatever. Was it 70s? Whatever it was, the Tylenol got poisoned. They believe that someone at the plant... Which is, I think, in... I don't want to name any one country. It's in Latin America somewhere. I can't remember. But now the investigators think that someone, like, did this on purpose. Isn't that crazy?
Very, very crazy and scary.
So, you know, it's not like the Panera lemonade that kills people, which is an accident and has already killed two people.
Yeah.
Just like, stop selling the fucking lemonade.
Yeah.
After the first one. Anyway... Where the hell were we? Okay, more stray observations. Ted ends up going to the movie theater alone, movies alone, which is great. I fully support going to the movies alone.
Oh, yeah, I've been doing it
since I was 16.
I forgot that part.
Yeah. And the montage at the end is set to a Christmas song by My Morning Jacket, who I don't know if that was their first Christmas song, but it's certainly not their last because they put out a Christmas EP this year.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Should we go to funniest?
Yeah, what's funniest moments? Yeah.
So Robin is so blasé after Ted has his, like, tantrum outside of the theater, and she says, want to go splitsies on some popcorn? Because she's bummed out that they don't have the snack.
And then he's like, and you.
Yeah.
And he has a whole... Yeah, that's... I'm going to jump right to the end. Ted's entire speech at the end is awesome and funny, and I love that Punchy calls him in the middle of it, and it's like, Ted, I don't know if I can do this. Yes, you can. You love her. You're right.
Yeah.
All right, so I already took my... What else do you have?
The coin flip in Trebek's eye is... If you haven't noticed, like, my... Like, funniest, like, moments on this show is when someone gets hit in the eye with something. Remember the
pencil? Pencil that went up a nose, yeah.
Pencil up in the nose.
Yeah,
but, like, I'm real, like, sophomoric in my, like...
You like slapstick.
I like slapstick, there's
nothing wrong
I guess.
With that at all. I like slapstick.
You've done well. But, yeah, I love Trebek's just, like, willingness to be hilarious.
Yeah. But I think my thing with, like, I've come around as I've gotten older, I think there was a certain point where I was, like, a comedy snob, where I would, like, look down on slapstick because it wasn't, like, sophisticated enough.
Yeah.
But I was watching, you bought me, I think we talked about this in a recent episode, you bought me this box set of Mel Brooks, like, TV appearances. Yeah. But it also has these, like, interviews with him about his movies on each disc. And they were interviewing him about Robin Hood Men in Tights, which I don't remember liking very much.
I did, but...
But they showed a clip from it. Where Robin Hood defeats like an entire castle full of like knights in armor by kicking one of them, and then they all knock each other down.
Yeah,
like,
there's dominoes. A lot of that.
I laughed so hard at that. Yeah,
it's so very stupid. Yeah, I think we're like because we're old, and that's like funny to us now.
Yeah.
I have more.
So do I. So okay. Allison Hannigan has a great when they're freaking out, you know, and then they're like, they have to go to. The I almost said the perk. They have to go to McLaren's for something, and Marshall's like, "Can you keep it together?" And Lily's like, "No, I can't keep it together." And then it just cuts to them like peacefully in each other's arms at the McLaren's. That was good. What else you got? I think I have more.
I don't remember. I'm gonna get this wrong, but it's a Trebek line. He loves Robin. And he's like, this is flipping now. What is my lid?
Very good. This was only funny to me as someone who listened to the Jerky Boys obsessively as a boy.
Yeah.
When they thought they were playing classical music for the baby. Like, mm-hmm. with the headphones.
Yeah.
It turned out the iPod was on shuffle and it had switched over to Jerky Boys.
Yeah.
And Lily says the Jerky Boys aren't funny. And Marshall says, if you don't think the Jerky Boys are funny, then I'm not sure I can raise a child with you, liver lips. Which is a Jerky Boys thing.
Yeah, obviously. I figured. Yeah. Yeah, some of that stuff, like, went over my head. But I knew it was funny.
I have one more.
I have one more. And then kind of another one. One and a half. When he like talks about like Barney's favorite things in his mind, everyone's like, what? Like everyone knows what it is. Everyone's like so excited about it, but it's like crickets. And Marshall's just like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But it's a perfect delivery of like,
yeah,
just kind of like exacerbated by exasperated?
Yeah.
Yes. Exacerbated.
No.
Exasperated.
Exasperated.
This is tough.
Yeah. Exasperated.
They're very similar words.
Yeah. They mean different things, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure do.
You gotta be careful with that. My last one, I know I already said Ted's whole speech, but I wanted to sing out one specific part of it.
Okay.
When he's yelling at Lillian Marshall for giving up on having a kid.
Yeah.
And he says, you're going to go home, get naked, and lie together as man and wife until Lily is great with child.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was very funny. And then finally, like, when Robin finally is on the right path, she gets her photo ID taken for Worldwide News.
Yeah.
And she looks great in it. She takes off her glasses, but then we see the picture and her eyes are closed and she's making a silly face.
Should we move on to How I Met Your Mother but Make It Fashion?
Yeah.
You go.
You're first. I like the Barney's favorite thing pajama sets that everyone's wearing.
Yeah. And it's very How I Met Your Mother that, like, we see, because the jumping around in time, we see Marshall and Lily in those velour, like, track suits multiple times.
So I knew it was, like, an Oprah thing. Like, oh, we'll get to this later.
Yeah, yeah. I liked when they're... When Marshall and Lily are at the perk pretending to keep it together and doing a pretty good job, Lily's wearing like a V-neck sweater over like a powder blue, like Oxford cotton button down type of like a man style shirt. It looks fantastic.
It's getting better. It's getting better.
Looked fantastic.
The fashions are getting better for these gals.
Did you like, and maybe you're about to say, did you like Robin's Million Dollar Heads or Tail audition dress? It had a little bit too much of the floofy stuff up top.
I don't remember it.
It was red.
Okay.
And it had kind of like floofy things on the shoulders that I didn't love.
Okay.
But it was also very cleavagey, which I liked.
Okay. Not a problem there. I guess I didn't notice.
Okay. Anything else in Make It Fashion?
Because
I have a couple more.
Oh, go.
That I only pointed out when Lily and Marshall show up at the movie theater at the end, Lily is wearing a knit hat very similar to yours.
Oh, okay.
Did you notice? Or very similar to your old one. Not the one I got you, but
the,
your
the pinkish
old
one?
No, it's gray.
Oh, the gray. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she looked cute in it, much as you look cute in yours. And also, when Robin shows up for work at Worldwide News, she is wearing eyeglasses and looks sexy in them, just like you look sexy in your eyeglasses. Aww. So, I thought about you a lot. Uh-huh. All right, what's under the umbrella? Oh, I start with this. Okay, like I said, Ben Vereen is there. Punchy shows up. I wrote Fat Phobia, even though I don't remember. Oh, because
Barney, like, sleeps with size 6 women, chubsters.
I think he meant... He said sixes. I thought he meant like 6 out of 10.
Oh, okay. Well, he said he followed it by chubsters. So I'm like,
yeah, he said sixes, chubsters, and over 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Not good. But we do get a variation on suit up when he's talking with the DiBiase suit.
The uppest a person could ever suit.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you have? Anything I missed?
Robin, she makes a lot of references to guns. And then when she, like, she even does, like, gun hands, like, pew, 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 yeah, in her pockets. Game show host guest stars. This is the third? Do you care?
Wait.
Bob Barker.
Bob Barker was on. Who else?
Was Drew Carey on?
No.
Okay. Well, this is the second.
Bob Barker was on. I mean, Regis Philbin was on.
Regis Philbin.
Who's a...
He's a game show.
TV person. Oh, yeah. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. That's right. Of course, like every normal person, I go to Meredith Vieira first. When I think of, that's literally who I thought of.
Yeah, yeah.
No, obviously normal people think of Regis Philbin first, and you think of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I'm just a weirdo who's like, oh, yeah, that Meredith Vieira show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So there have been three. That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably been more that we like didn't even know, you know?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Alan Thicke's been on. I'm sure Alan Thicke hosted a game show at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Similarities? What do you got?
Okay, I have quite a few.
Okay, I only have one. I want to see if it's on yours.
Well, just like the idea of having babies. Chandler says to Monica, I'm your only chance to have a baby.
Yeah, and then later he goes, two babies. And then mimes like rocking them.
Yes. In both episodes, there is a check, a paper check. So Ross's check from Playboy,
right,
and the bonus check that Marshall or that Barney gets. Also magazines. There's a magazine in How I Met Your Mother, and now it's, I don't remember what the magazine was.
Yeah.
But they're talking about a magazine.
Is it because like, I know Lily's like looking for parenting tips at one point. Is
maybe,
that it?
Maybe. Okay. Also, auditions. Joey goes to an audition for the role, and Robin's going to the audition. Also, watching movies. The Heart documentary, maybe?
It's an episode of Behind the Music. It's not a movie.
Okay. Okay. Also, making a list.
Checking it twice. Finding out who's naughty and nice.
So wait. Oh, okay. Marshall and Lily are making a list of all the things they have to do before the baby, and Monica wants Phoebe to make a list of all the reasons why she's high maintenance.
Yeah, yeah.
Also the idea of naked ladies in Playboy and at the strip club.
Right.
And finally, the idea of, like, telling off friends.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Sorry, my phone's freezing up here. I'm trying to, making this, naked ladies telling off friends. I'm trying to remember.
Auditions.
Yeah, I have that already.
Paper checks.
I have,
babies.
I have that. Yeah. I'm just trying to remember what the magazine is in the How I Met Your Mother episode, because you're right.
I know there was a magazine, and I wrote it down.
Yeah, I remember that, too. Oh! That's where... I can't remember the name of the magazine, but that's where the DiBiase, the ad for the DiBiase suit is.
Yes.
But I can't remember the name of the magazine.
Okay.
Yeah. It was killing me. It was killing me.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, all I had was the baby one, but you got so many there. All right. It's time to play favorites.
3, 2, 1. How Friends. I Met Your Mother.
Oh, okay. We went back.
And I'll tell you why.
Please do. I like when you tell me.
I love a holiday app. Yeah. As you know, I love that everything's decorated. Like everywhere they go is decorated with lights. Their apartments are decorated with lights. I like this attention to detail. I like
McLaren's.
Yes. I like the gingerbread house. I like when people like re-examine their lives and, you know, do. I like when Barney is, even though Barney's like not actually like a nice guy, the fact that he gave a great sum to charity and then donated all of his suits to Ben Vereen's church.
Yeah.
I like that.
God's strip club.
God's strip club. So I liked it.
Yeah. I almost picked How I Met Your Mother just mostly just on the strength of that ending of Ted telling everyone off and how it all came together. Cause I really liked that. But,
this Friends episode, it was kind of lackluster to me.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I liked it. You know what I didn't like? And I'm glad we mentioned it because I was going to put it in Stray Observations. I completely skipped over it. When Lily comes in and announces she's pregnant, Barney stands up, runs to the door and says, like, I've never seen that woman before in my life. And then goes, oh, sorry, force of habit.
Yeah.
But because of the nature of How I Met Your Mother, it's a bad joke to begin with. Yeah. Because of the nature of How I Met Your Mother, we see it like four
over
times.
Over and over again. Yeah.
And it does not get any funnier. It keeps getting less funny.
Yes.
That might be a big part of why what I didn't like about this episode is that particular.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think the like. Yeah, the Chubsters and the use of the word bimbo. Which, like, I think the sexism maybe in this episode got to me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in Friends, you've got ladies talking about dating each other. Obviously, that's that's
fun.
But
also, like, the fat phobia in Friends.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I had a thought recently about this project and my assumption, how wrong my assumptions going in were.
Because
I came in being the How I Met Your Mother guy. Two things I assumed that do not turn out to be true. I assumed Friends would have aged worse just by virtue of being older.
Yeah.
How I Met Your Mother has definitely aged worse. There's way more cringe.
Definitely.
In How I Met Your Mother. I also just, not even just as a, this isn't just about Friends, just as someone who has watched TV and watched sitcoms, and I knew going in that How I Met Your Mother falters in quality as it goes on.
Yeah.
I think I had just assumed Friends would also falter in quality as it goes on. And maybe, I mean, we've still got four full seasons left to go after this.
Yeah.
Maybe Friends will start to suck a little bit more, but it's shocking how much sharper and livelier and consistent Friends is halfway through season six than How I Met Your Mother is.
Yeah.
I mean, this episode had some good stuff in it, but the last two episodes of How I Met Your Mother were pretty much not good. Natural History was good, but that might be the last really good.
But I like a episode. Christmas episode.
I know you like a Christmas episode. Yeah. All right. So I'd say let's catch up on our correspondence, but we don't have any. I think people are just like busy with the holidays and stuff. They're just not like corresponding with us. But let us know. We have like calls to action.
Yeah,
you know? Tell me about your pee habits.
Yeah, let us know.
We want to know all the details, you know.
How many ounces do you think your bladder can hold?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I loved this joke as a kid. It's such a corny joke. You might be American when you go into the bathroom. And you're American when you come out of the bathroom. But you know what you are while you're in the bathroom? European.
That's a good one.
But also, remember our calls to action from last week? How do you feel about empty belt loops? Was there a knight
giving you so many gems.
Yeah. Was there a single scene inside Joey's apartment? Well, there was. Chandler comes over. Did you see the Magna?
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. It was a reindeer and like a fisherman.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have no correspondence. Please correspond with us. We're so lonely.
Oh, also props.
We're so lonely.
There was a Snapple in Friends.
Okay. All right. But that means we can move on to my favorite segment to introduce, which is called How Were We Doing? This is where we look at what was happening in the world on the days that these episodes aired. So, season 6, episode 12 of Friends, the one with the joke, aired on Thursday, January 13th, 2000. As far as what happened that day, Look, they're all gonna be winners, but Steve Ballmer became the CEO of Microsoft, marking the first time in the company's then 20-year history that the CEO was someone other than Bill Gates. Hmm. So that's all I can find. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Let's see. Top five songs in the U.S. on that day. At number five, Jessica Simpson's I Wanna Love You Forever. At number four, Savage Garden, I Knew I Loved You Before I Met You.
I think I dreamed you into life.
At number three, Brian McKnight's Back at One. At number two, a very bad song called Smooth by Santana. And at number one, making his debut at number one, a very good song called What a Girl Wants, What a Girl Needs, Whatever Makes Me Happy Sets You Free, and I'm thanking you for giving it to me.
Do you think Linda Perry wrote that song? Linda Perry wrote, like, a lot of Christina Aguilera songs.
Maybe. I like Christina Aguilera. I like her music.
But let me tell you, what Linda Perry wants is very different than what Christina Aguilera wants.
What's your favorite Christina Aguilera song, Natalie? Is it What a Girl Wants, or is it like me, Genie in a Bottle?
I like Genie in a Bottle, yeah.
Yeah. But I guess, like, I feel like this is a thing about being in your 40s. I know you know, Natalie, but...
How dare you.
Listeners might not know this, that, like, I don't know, maybe this isn't something that everyone in their 40s do, but I'm constantly thinking about, like, how does someone who's, like, how does a teenager or early 20s, like, see the world differently than I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because I remember being a teenager and hearing, like, very synth-heavy music from the 80s, you know? Mm-hmm. And it being, like, I came to like some of that stuff, but it felt so dated that I was, like, how did people not know this was corny at the time, you know?
Mm.
And I think the production on Genie in a Bottle is so specifically like the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like I don't think that's a Timbaland track, but it's like a Timbaland ripoff.
Okay.
That I wonder if someone heard Genie in a Bottle, if someone who was like 16 heard Genie in a Bottle for the first time now, if they would be like, this is so dated. This is so corny sounding. Anyway. We're not even talking about Genie about it. We'll tell them what a girl wants.
I also really like Come On Over. Come on over, okay. Baby. And You Are Beautiful.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, season 6, episode 12 of How I Met Your Mother, which again, it's called False Positive, aired on Monday, December 13th, 2010. As far as what happened on this day, in the ancient capital city of Xi'an, China, I think that's how you say it, Xi'an, a 2,400-year-old soup pot was found.
Soup pot.
But, I'm always fascinated by this kind of stuff. I remember, like, 10 years ago, someone found, like, a medieval sword just laying on the ground in the forest and had been there for like 700 years or something. And I think about, like, there have been archaeologists for a long time. Mm-hmm. They've dug up a lot of stuff. And the fact that this soup pot just sat in the same place for 2.5 millennia.
Yeah.
Before, that's like, it's amazing. And it makes me feel like, you know, there's a saying that there's nothing new under the sun or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But it makes me feel like, well, maybe there's not nothing new, but there are still things we haven't that we haven't come across yet. I don't know. That's how I feel about that kind of stuff.
How did they know it was for soup? That's what I'm fascinated by.
Okay. All right. I don't know.
How did they know? Like, what was in it? It could have been fruit. It could have been anything. Like, why would it be soup?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there was still some soup left in it. There's still some minestrone at the bottom of it.
Yeah. some alphabets.
top five songs in the U.S. that day. Number five, Bruno Mars' Grenade. I forgot how that one goes.
I feel like we know it, though.
I know. I definitely feel like I know that one. But it's probably bad. I don't like Bruno Mars. At number four, the Black Eyed Peas, The Time, Dirty Bit. I don't know what that is. At number three, Rihanna, What's My Name? What's My Name? At number two, Pink, Raise Your Glass. You going to play some grenade? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know this one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's basically saying, fall on a grenade for you. Yeah, he's saying he'd die for his baby. Okay. And then number one, speaking of babies, baby, you're a firework. Ooh,
Look at that one. Do you see that one? Look at that one.
Oh, that was a happy face. All right. Let's move on to our final segment, which is called Challenge Accepted. This is where we attempt to predict what's going to happen next week on both shows, armed only with the knowledge of the episode title. I said that the one with the joke... We have to see how we did last week, sorry. I said the one with the joke is Chandler tells an unfunny joke, if you can imagine, and refuses to apologize for it. That's not really what happened. No. He did tell an unfunny joke, but once he was told it was unfunny, he... I don't know.
Moved on.
Okay. Okay.
I think I might have got a fine.
Let's see. Let's see. Lily gets a false positive on a Preggers test, and we get to see how the gang really feel.
We do.
Yeah. It wasn't what you meant, but we do see how they really feel.
Yeah.
But you thought they were going to be, like...
I didn't speculate.
Negative about...
I didn't speculate.
Okay. But I know what you were
Marshall,
saying.
Marshall, we get how Marshall and Lily really feel.
That's true. Yeah. That's a point. That's a point for Natalie.
And also, we learn that Robin, wants to be, cool Aunt Robin, not, coin flip Robin.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. I'm going to look up the titles of the next episodes.
I get a point.
I gave you a point.
I shouldn't have to fight for it. I feel like it's fair and square.
Okay, you got a point. I gave you the point.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm going to need you to
make... Holiday vegetable hash. Figgy cheddar. Dolce creamy gorgonzola. Body butter trio. Red fruits in the forest candle. Shimmering candy cane body butter.
Okay. Season 6, episode 13 of Friends is called The One with Rachel's Sister. Okay. Okay. Why would her sister?
Should you guess who... Rachel's sister is?
Oh, I'm going to say just wild guess, stab in the dark, Reese Witherspoon. Yeah. Yeah. Cultural osmosis. I know certain things. Okay. I could have pretended that I didn't know that it was Reese Witherspoon, but okay. That would have been cheating, okay. Right?
Yeah.
No, I am going to guess that... I'm going to say, okay, Rachel's sister who married Rich and lives a life of luxury makes Rachel second guess her life choices and wonder if she should have remained a shallow bee.
Okay.
you know what I'm saying? Okay. So yours, season 6, episode 13 of How I Met Your Mother is called Bad News.
Bad News. Okay. So I think this is going to involve Robin.
Okay.
At her new job. So, assuming that she is the associate researcher, maybe she takes it upon herself to sensationalize a news story, like falsify a news story.
Robin tries to jazz up her boring new gig by going all shattered glass mm-hmm. on a news story.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Is that a good guess?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it would be a good episode. That's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
That's the end of our episode. We did it. We talked about both shows. We had a fun time. You can find us. Well, you can find the podcast wherever you found it. You've already done that. But you can find a post for every episode of BattleshipRetention.com. You can leave a comment there. You can email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. Natalie, did you forget to say something?
Yeah.
What?
I forgot to say the similarities of coffee. They get a coffee. Marshall and Lily get a coffee gift card to Costa Coffee.
Marshall and Ted both get.
Marshall and Ted get.
That's their bonus from GMB. That's their bonus.
Yes. Yeah. Costa Coffee.
Yeah.
And Central Purpose Coffee.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
You can email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Davey Pretension. There are probably some other ways you can find me. If there are, Steph will tell.
She'll find it.
Yeah. Maybe that's why we don't have any correspondence, because Steph is on like a tour of Europe, according to her Instagram.
Yeah.
She's having so much fun going to like Christmas markets in Strasbourg, Germany and stuff like that.
I'm jealous.
Aren't you? I'm jealous too of her Instagram. Yeah. That's where you can find me. Natalie, where can people find you online?
You can't. But if you like this episode, you should rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers. Give us 5 stars. I'm doing it right now as I open the app. It's real easy. Evidently, it helps other people find us. Let us know just whatever you'd like us to know. Holiday greeting would be fine.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Movie theater experiences. Did you bring candy and treats into the movie theater?
Yeah.
Or are you a stickler and wouldn't do that? Let us know. Until next time, we're obviously going to be at God's strip club.